Good afternoon, dear friends. This is Conversations on Important Matters with Tamara Eidelman. We are trying to offer something in contrast to those propagandistic discussions about important matters that are now poisoning Russian schools every week. If you want to listen not only to Conversations on Important Matters, but also to my lectures, you can find them on the YouTube channel. If you are interested in my stories on Instagram, welcome to Instagram. There, you will also find reels, short stories about interesting facts. We have created a new account dedicated to our project, Travels with Tamara Eidelman. Come in and see what kinds of travels are available. Also, on Telegram and Facebook, I write about history, politics, literature, cinema, books, films, and much more. Please read. If you want to watch short videos, go to TikTok. In general, keep an eye on my social networks. And now we turn to the topic of conversations on important matters for the upcoming week. It must be said, it's a strong topic. It's called How to Find Your Place in Society. This question has long troubled me. What are they offering us? I didn't write it all out. It is impossible. You don't need to read all this scientific text. For example, problematizing conversation about three components of successful realization of a person in society, friendship, family, and profession. Well, everything good is a summandum. Next, a reflective talk on my future. Of course, teachers should talk to children about their future, about how they will be realized. They should help them find their place in the classroom and somehow prepare them for the future. No questions? Sure. But we are asked to conduct this reflective conversation. How I like these expressions. Scientific, elevated, in a country where, not just over the last 2 years, but in fact for many years, people have been systematically deprived of a future. How to talk to children about the future in a country where freedom has been taken away, where everything is stolen, where despite the richest resources, a huge number of people live in poverty, where money is collected for children's treatment, where the elderly rummage through garbage. What future can we talk about here? What profession can we discuss in a country where business is either completely destroyed or entirely built on kickbacks, or people are driven out of the country because they cannot work here, because their business was taken away? And this, as we see, can happen instantly. A person works, creates a huge business involving many people, and suddenly, bang, everything is taken away. Their business is nationalized, you see. Or a new tax is invented so that businessmen can pay for the war. What science can we talk about when everyone is running away? What culture, when it is under tremendous pressure? What future can there be here? Three pillars of future life are suggested: friendship, family, and profession. What profession should I advise my children? To become a teacher, to work for pennies, to be under the eternal pressure of bureaucrats and bosses, and to talk about important things, or become a doctor? It's good if you work in a rich private clinic in Moscow, but what if you find yourself in the region, in a small town, in a dilapidated hospital, where there are no medicines and not enough medical equipment? I started with these professions because, in my opinion, the life of any country relies on these people, those who teach and treat. They are the backbone of society, but in our country, they have been turned into miserable, battered servants of the regime who are driven to any rally because they are budgetary employees. They are forced to falsify elections. I emphasize teachers are not the only ones who falsify elections. This is my favorite topic. But this is only part of how they are mocked by the state. What if we suggest that children consider pursuing careers in business? They would have to constantly live with the fear that their business could be taken away from them, that they may have to pay significant kickbacks and break the law as a default. Alternatively, we could recommend that they enter the field of politics, running for the Duma, where they would be constrained to serve the regime and unable to express their own thoughts freely. Another option would be for them to become journalists who write solely what the authorities desire, facing reprisals if they make any deviation. These reprisals may not only involve the fear of shutdowns or fines, but also pose a threat to their own lives, similar to what the courageous journalists of Novaya Gazeta experience. What can we suggest? what profession to choose. Let's consider family. It is quite telling that the guidebook outlines three pillars: friendship, family, profession. Notably, there is no mention of love here. In our society, we talk about foundations. The propagated ideal is to find true love, immediately enter into lawful marriage, and have as many children as possible. But that's because the Reich needs soldiers. It is overlooked that love can be different, and family is not just a union between a man and a woman, even though it is now enshrined in the Constitution. It is estimated that in any country and era, 5 to 10% of the population may be homosexual or bisexual. Thus, we can assume that 10% of the students being taught about family as the union of a man and a woman might want to form entirely different relationships. They are denied the opportunity to live normally, being declared extremists, not to mention transgender individuals. Moving on to what will I take with me into adult life? A group activity with cards is suggested, where children can discuss which qualities will be useful to them. Skills like cooking, making friends, learning, knowing languages, joking, all are important. But critically essential skills are not mentioned. The ability to think independently, to defend one's views, to take responsibility, to feel accountable for one's actions, family, job, friends. What are the consequences of your actions? Do they lead to war or peace? Can you watch injustice placidly, or will you stand up to protect others? Do you adhere to the law or turn a blind eye to its breaches? Now, that's probably the most important quality for adulthood. There's absolutely no question. That's completely out of the question. As I said at the beginning, school, of course, should prepare children for adult life, not just overwhelm them with endless facts. But for this, first of all, adult life must have some things that allow us to look forward without horror. Well, at least universal conscription should be abolished. It is completely outdated, especially today, when the army has turned into a horrifying institution, when terrible things are done in the war in Ukraine, and conscription is a punishment. For example, there should be an opportunity to study and choose the profession you want. Maybe there should be a more developed and normalized system of education loans. And in general, higher education should be more accessible and more closely connected to real life. There should be support for the family, which formally we have. I have already talked about this when we had conversations about important things devoted to family and motherhood. But there is no real support. Real payments to young families are negligible. They do not give anything. There is no real equality in the family. Again, I'm not talking about how the family should be perceived now. This is what awaits the kids when they get out of school. How do you prepare for that? I don't. But I do know what I think schools can do to prepare graduates for life in society. To make them happy, unfortunately, we can't guarantee them. We can't make them happy. But we can prepare them for life by making them, say, more resilient, for example, by instilling in them the idea of the close connection between freedom and responsibility. That, on the one hand, freedom is the most important basic value, and on the other hand, freedom is not just the possibility of I can do what I want. It is connected with responsibility, and this is instilled not by brainwashing, not by talking, not by preaching, because you can say beautiful words 10 times, 100 times, 1,000. But if life at school is organized differently, then these talks will not lead to anything. But life in school should be built on mutual respect of students and teachers, teachers and students, administration and teachers, administration and students, teachers and parents, parents and teachers, parents and children, so that everyone respects each other. This, on the one hand, as it seems to me, is achieved simply by the behavior of a teacher who, pardon the banality, does not shout at his students, calls them by their first names and not by their surnames, listens to them respectfully, even if they are talking nonsense, and does not say to them, "What are you saying?" but tries to discuss with them what is going on. This is achieved not only at the level of communication, but also at the level of how the subject is studied. It is not just the teacher broadcasting and children writing it down and then reproducing it, or children working at the lesson, getting information themselves, thinking about it themselves, of course, under the guidance of the teacher. There are plenty of such methods. You just need to use them. When children learn to work in a team, when children learn to argue, not the way in our country everyone from small to large argues, "I think this way and I think another way and you are an idiot." That's basically the pattern of our argument. And when people speak out on the basis of considerations, others may disagree with them, raise objections, there is a cultural discussion that has to be nurtured too. Now, of course, everywhere in any pedagogical article, in any reasoning, it will be said to teach cultural discussion, to develop thinking, but speaking again is one thing. To what extent are our methods aimed at this? And this, I think, is the most important thing. It is much more important than them simply memorizing some facts, given that today there is Google where you can find any facts. By the way, working with the internet should also be taught. It also requires some analytical skills. This is the kind of skills a school can and should develop. As for talking during one lesson on Monday, I like the idea of what I will take into the future. But maybe I would not immediately give children cards on which it is written to be able to cook or to be able to joke. But I would talk to them first and invite them to write down the qualities that, from their point of view, help adults in their lives. If it will be a sincere conversation, I am afraid that there will be written a lot of such qualities that the teacher will not like very much. Only further discussion would be necessary. And why do you think that, say, only the strong, the rich at any cost, can resist in this life? Or maybe there are other important qualities. Talk about why some people think this way and others think differently. It won't solve the problem, but it will at least allow some very painful questions to be thought about. All right, Will, subscribe to my social media. Good luck talking about what's important and have a great week.